Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're just dismissing all the kids. So Father, we thank you that you're opening up the eyes of our understanding, flooding our hearts with light in this place today, Lord. I thank you for hearing ears, hearing spiritually ears, and for seeing eyes, seeing those things in your word, Lord God, that they come alive. So we thank you, Father, for your word is alive and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so John 1:1 says, you can probably just listen, you don't have to put this up there, but in the beginning was the word. Now, people call this the Bible, but it is the Word of God. But listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, this Word, was God. This Word is God. The same was in the beginning with Him. All things were made by Him, and nothing was made that was not made. And you know, you see, okay, and then verse 14, John 1. Come on. John 1:14 says, and see, this is talk, okay. And the Word was made flesh. Who's the Word?
Jesus.
He was made flesh because He was born on the earth. And He dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, if the Word, when you say Word, is God. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All of them. So, Jesus of Nazareth was the Word of God. John 15:7, I'm one that puts a lot of scripture because I like to prove stuff. I didn't know anything, even nothing. Just kept reading many over from beginning to end many, many times. Okay, John 15:7, and it says, would you put up the Amplified?
Yeah.
And it actually says, if you live in me. But what does the word abide mean? The word abide means live.
Yes.
If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts. Not necessarily in your head, but your heart. Look at this. Ask whatever you will, and it'll be done for you. Well, you know, somebody might say, what if I ask for something real weird, like I'm interested in my neighbor's husband or my neighbor's wife? You know what? No. What it said was, this is what it said, abide vitally united to me.
Yeah.
And you know, God's not. And continue and ask whatever you will. You're going to ask the right thing.
Right.
When you abide vitally in Him. You don't do screwy things like that. So, see, and really what we're going to talk about is healing today. Because a lot of people in the body of Christ aren't walking in divine health. And sick, and this is the whole thing. The sickness and disease stops us from living long enough to tell people about it, or else it handicaps us, right? And I'll be honest with you, I'm 84. And I mean, I have had things go wrong. I had cancer in 2011, cancer breast, but but overcame it. You don't quit. See, quitters never win, and winners never quit. But sickness and disease will stop you from fulfilling your role as a Christian. And there are other people that need us. God needs us. See, we're all expected, once you get born again, you receive Jesus in your heart. See, then, okay, now, this is another thing. I'm just going to say this. And I don't blame them. It's not their fault. They didn't know any better. They didn't tell me I had to receive Jesus in my heart. They never told me. My daughter told me when I was 40. Okay, so she's 61. It's going to be 62. My kids in the 60s. So you see, but we're expected to promote the gospel once we become born again. And what I see is all these people just laying back and, oh, I'm sick, I can't do anything. And you know what? It's just, okay. So on the cross, Jesus took our sins. Now, I'm going to tell you something today. On the cross, he shed his blood, and that blood wiped out our sins. And before he did that, though, he was beaten and chastised. Now, he was beaten with a cat of nine tails. And in that cat of nine tails, it was either leather or it was rope, and it had metal balls, wire, bones that were chip bones, metal spikes in there. And as they beat them, you know, those Roman soldiers were strong, and they would show their strength and just, you know, and then they would dig and pull and twist. And I know it was gross, but it wasn't even necessary that Jesus did that for us, but you know what it did? Why does it say over and over, by the stripes with which he was beaten, we are healed? It's just something we need to stand on. I mean, there's things that come against us in this world and all the junk that's going on. And you know what? I mean, sure, just recently, you know, I see you, Anita, you had that same thing. I mean, I suddenly, you know, it was deep. But you know what? If you stand on healing and you start to say, Jesus, you did this for me. If you really dig into what happened to him, to Jesus, it was, whoo. Now, I said another word there. I said he was chastised. You know, they brought him the night before, and they put him in the basement of that whatever it was there. And the soldiers, and it wasn't just a few soldiers. It was as high as 400 that popped him on the head while his hands were tied back and spit goobers on him. And swore and said, now look who you are. Why don't you heal yourself? You know, and stuff like that. Yeah. He was bullied. Yeah. Terribly bullied. Yeah. And there's ways of interpreting that, because it was written in the Old Testament, and Isaiah talks about it too, and that was Hebrew. I even brought a Hebrew Bible. I mean, not a Hebrew Bible, but it's translated only Old Testament, because they don't believe in the New Testament. But it's a Jewish study Bible, and it's in English, but not the New Testament. So now, before he went to the cross, he was beaten. All right, there were 9 strips. 39 times, you know, he went through this. Incidentally, there's 39 categories of diseases. And so that beating wasn't necessary before the crucifixion. But now let's look at some scriptures. First of all, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. I'll show you what it says. Put it in the Amplified, but I'll show you what it says there. Okay. Then I'll show you what it says here. All right. Surely he has borne our griefs. In the King James Version, it just says griefs. They couldn't believe that he actually took all of our sicknesses and all of them. So they put the word griefs in there. Okay, what it means is sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. But he did. He took them. And he carried our sorrow and pain. Sorrow there means pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. Go ahead. Next verse. He was wounded for our transgressions. Whoa, wait a minute. Okay, hold that. Isaiah. I looked up the word transgressions. Transgressions are offenses and sins, wrongdoing, misdemeanors, misdeeds, law-breaking, just being mean and wicked sometimes. Okay, and it says he took our transgressions. He took them. Okay, he was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. Iniquities are a little different. Iniquities are like generational curses. Those are things, and once Jesus did that, though, you get born again, you're redemed from it. You don't have to have that generational curse stuff. Don't say, oh, I got generational curses. Hey, if you're born again, no. Okay, but there are things that are passed down the line. Why do doctors ask? Why do they ask, you know, did your had heart trouble? Did they have cancer? Blah, 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 blah. You know, like that. Okay. And I used to be a nurse. I have a degree in nursing. So, but iniquities are deeply rooted, premeditated choice to sin. One of the examples even was David with Bathsheba. First, he committed adultery, and he didn't stop there. He had her husband because she got pregnant. He actually had her husband killed on the front lines. It's in Micah 2:1 or 2:7. It says, "Iniquity not checked leads to unrepentant sin and no fear of God." In other words, you have unnatural affection. It's mean, and a reprobate mind. And like Eli's sons, some of you know the Old Testament. So these things can get passed down the line, but Jesus took it. Now here's what the Hebrew Bible says, and they translated it from Hebrew. The Israelites, the Jewish people? Okay. It says in verse 4. Okay, let me start with verse 3 on this. He was despised. It won't be up there. Shunned by men. A man of suffering, familiar with disease. As one who hid his face from us. He was despised, and we held him of no account. Verse 4 says, yet it was our sickness that he was bearing. Yeah. Well, that's Do you have it up there? That's a Jewish Bible. Okay. Yeah. He said, it says in the Jewish Bible, it was our sickness that he was bearing, our suffering that he endured. Yeah. We accounted him plagued and smitten and afflicted by God. But he was wounded, beaten, too. But he was wounded, like pierced and bloodshed. He was wounded because of our sins. He was crushed and beaten because of our iniquities. He bore the chastisement that made us whole. That word chastisement means bullied. Isn't that something? Because there's so much bullying going on and a lot of times in schools now and stuff like that. And by his bruises, we were healed. Bruising make it brings the blood flow and it looks terrible. But you get, you know, somebody socks you in the eye, it turns black, but it's healing when it's doing that. And you know, I'm not going to read the rest of that. I just want to prove to you that if they know what they're talking about when they're translating from that. Okay, so, okay, now, we'll just get to another. Okay, now let's go to Matthew 8, 16 and 17. King James. Praise God. Hallelujah. King James. I know this is not so exciting, but it's teaching. Teaching isn't always. I mean, I go, hur, hur, hur. And there's a few times to do. Anyway. Matthew 8, 16. First of all, it says, now this is what Jesus, this is in the New Testament, when Jesus was walking on the earth. And when it was before his crucifixion. When the evening was come, they brought unto Jesus many that were possessed with devils. See, devils are real. And he cast out the spirits with his word. And healed all that were sick. Okay, go ahead. So that it might be fulfilled. Whoops, how'd you get? Matthew 8:34 popped up. Okay, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities. I looked up that word once, and infirmities doesn't even mean so much sickness. It means inability to produce results. But it does mean this. Physical ailments that come in older age. He took them. So then I looked up the word took. You know what took means? Destroyed. He destroyed our inabilities and our physical ailments that began to transpire in older age. Isn't that something? Okay, and those okay. Now see, there is a difference between himself took our infirmities. Now why did they put this in and bear our sicknesses? They made it different. Infirmities and sickness were different. But he bore them in his body. Now, I can tell you somebody who was Dr. Dufresne. Some of you know him. He passed on to heaven because he had an airplane crash. But his wife is my pastor. I am a pastor. Let me tell you, and they'll tell you, whip you into shape if you're just saying the wrong thing. He was an alcoholic, actually, and he got born again, and he started going, you know, to church, and he was helping out in church, and they were having communion, and he said, God, I just really want to understand what is communion, and he said, suddenly, he said it was like the roof of the church disappeared, and he had a vision. And he saw Jesus on the cross, like floating in the air. And then he said he saw words flying through the air. The very first word he saw was C-A-N-C-E-R, cancer. And he said it went like this, and it went, and Jesus went on the cross up in the air. And then it was arthritis, you know, and it was diabetes, heart trouble. He took it. and bore it.
Yeah.
And then he went to the cross and he had it on him. And you know that Jesus, after that, was taken to hell. Literally taken into hell. And see, some of these things, there's huge explanations. And when you start to know that stuff, to me, I got to know stuff behind stuff. And that's when you become believers. Okay, and those are the things he did for us. See, he fulfilled what was spoken in Isaiah. That's what that means. Now go to 1 Peter 2:24. There's all kinds of healing scriptures. And the Bible is loaded. It says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. What does on the tree mean? It means that, you know, his cross was made out of wood. That we, being dead to sins, in other words, because he bare those sins on the tree, on the cross, we're dead to sins. Now, I mean, if you sin, you need to repent. You go straight to God, though. Okay? We, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Because then you start walking more righteous. You give up some of the garbage that you had in the past. All of it. Okay. Now, this is separated. Also, as a teacher, colon separates like a thought. Okay. By whose stripes you were healed. Two separate things. Most of the people know about getting born again, but the other part, because it's almost seen, oh dear, everybody's getting, they have to close their eyes now. The thing is, there is so much like pain. Yeah. I've had it too, after all this time.
Amen.
I mean, you know what? But thank God for doctors too. Go to the doctor.
Yes.
Don't, you know, be, that's silly.
Yeah.
Anyway, sometimes you've got to. What if you're in a car accident and you have a broken leg? Thank God. They can put you back together. Thank God. But the whole thing is, this healing thing has not been taught as much. But he did both of them. And I can tell you, after I had that cancer, I had it removed. And the Lord, I mean, I prayed about it for 3 months before I had it even removed. And then, I wanted to get rid of it, but they wanted to give me chemo and radiation, and I refused it because, in my case, I did because I knew I wouldn't be able to be strong enough. I was in my 70s. So, and to get back here, you know what I mean? And so I refused it, and I was okay. Now, I mean, I'm not telling you that is because the Lord told me not to. That doesn't mean you don't do it. But thank, you know, we have, but we, this healing thing, but one of the things you do, you've got to fight.
That's right.
Come on.
Yeah, you do. That's it.
You've got to fight it. Do you understand what I mean? Some people are saying yes. I don't baby myself at all. And people can tell you that. And when you don't baby yourself, you can keep going. You can. Yeah, you can. Because if you just sit in a... I taught school too, and one of my old students is here. And do you remember when they always used to say, Mrs. Hartman is never going to sit in a rocking chair? Do you remember that? Yeah, he remembers. I didn't tell them that. They noticed it because I was already, I was in my, 50s or 60s. I don't know. I was teaching you guys. Anyway. Okay. But see, you know, you keep going for the sake of Christ, if anything. And it's fun. Believe me, stuff comes up. You know? bone-to-bone knees and, you know, stuff like that. You keep going. Okay, so I'm telling you, though. Now, in the Bible also it says that the just shall live by faith. And there's a lot in the Word of God about faith. Now, Romans 10:17, and you don't have to put that up there, though. Romans 10:17 says, how do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. It doesn't come by hearing a whole bunch of other stuff. If you constantly talk about the negative thing, it isn't going to work. And see, there's certain things about faith, all right? So faith believes the Word for what you want before it manifests.
Amen.
That's what faith is. In fact, put up there out of the Amplified Hebrews 11:1. I'm not going to keep you forever here. I forgot all my watches, so I will see what time I'm at. Now faith. And the reason now is capitalized is because faith, you either are in faith right now or you're not. It's the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. Another word for hope is expect. You expect it. You don't have it yet. You expect it. Being the proof, that faith, the Word of God, is the proof that proof of things we do not see yet, and the conviction of their reality that they can come to pass, perceiving as real fact. Faith is perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Okay, we live in a sense world, in case you didn't notice. Everything we do, we honestly make decisions all by what we see, what we hear, what we taste, smell, and touch. Here's another thing, because people will say, I remember this Indian guy that came here and he had cancer, and we were just, you know, supporting him and of the intestine. He was young, too, and he would say to me, though, I'm going to the doctor. Please pray that my report will come out good. And I said, no. Remember, I taught you about faith. And he said, oh, yeah, because whose report do you believe? Now, you see, it actually says that in Isaiah 53:1. That's where those other scriptures were about Jesus. Isaiah 53:1, the first thing it says is, whose report do you believe? You have to believe the Word of God. The Word of God will never fade away. Heaven and earth will pass away. I mean, heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away. How come? Because it's God. The Word is God. It said it was God. Yeah. So, you see, okay, so where should I go from there, Lord? I'm just trying to, okay. 2 Corinthians 5:7, and don't put that up there either. It's so we walk by faith and not by sight. We're not supposed to walk by what we see, feel, hear, taste, touch, that much. But we're living in a sense world, and you have to sometimes. If you have pain, but see, you can get. I don't care if you're a Christian or not, or you're born again, spirit filled. You'll walk by the senses if you don't know this, and you get into the Word, and there's certain scriptures. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Well, how's that, Lord? How does that work? They found cancer cells. You know. They told me I had osteoporosis. They told me I had arthritis. Now I have knee to knee, bone to bone, you know. Oh, yeah, you're going to, you know, be careful so you don't fall because you're going to break your hip. Well, you know, you get, I'm just telling you, you have to sometimes fight these things and stand on the word. We're living in a sense world. Do you understand why I'm telling you this? Because people don't realize it. And I didn't realize it until I really looked into all this. Okay, so I'm just trying to help you. See, in other words, we have got to believe what the Word of God says by faith, more so than what we see, hear, taste, feel, touch, all that stuff. Now, put up there Hebrews 11:6 for sure, out of the King James. So you don't really go by the five senses, but you have to get into the Word. You know what? Once you become born again, you receive Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, it says four times in the Bible, once in the Old Testament, three times in the New Testament. Those, I'm going to say it this way, those that are born again shall live by faith.
That's right.
It says the just shall live by faith. But you know who the just are?
We are.
Those who are born again. Listen to me. Just means God looks at you just as if you had never sinned. That's a scripture too. It's in, there's a scripture in Colossians in it, and it says, He looks at you once you receive Jesus in your heart and you start living that life. He sees you as holy, blameless, and faultless. First time I read that, I cried. I mean, see what a good God He is? But this is real stuff. All this other junk in the whole wide world is going to pass away. And, you know, but, okay, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, you read it. Without
faith.
Comes to
God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Diligently, you have to get in the Word. You can't just pass it by. Okay, so faith is taking God at His word. We take the doctor at His word. We take everything. And then it says His word is His will. Wait a minute. 1 John 5:14-15, but also I wanted 1 John 5:4-2. Put 1 John 5:4 up there first, since it comes before. See, this is scripture. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word won't. Okay. Since the Word is God, this is the Word. Say my old thing again. You can take all the Bibles in the whole wide world and burn them up.
Yeah.
Well, not one single word of God left in this.
How much word do you have?
Can you destroy it? No, you haven't destroyed it because it's a person who lives in heaven and lives in stink. He lives in you. If when you're born again.
Yes.
Okay. For whatsoever is born of God, you became born again, overcomes the world. Woo! And this is the victory that overcomes the world. The only way you can overcome the world system is by faith. And faith is believing God before you see the answer. Because it's in His Word. It has to be in here, which is loaded with stuff.
Amen.
But if you never get in it, you'll never know it.
You'll never know.
See, your faith will never operate, though, beyond your knowledge of God's will. And God's will is God's Word.
That's right. Yes, it is.
You can't say that person has cancer. Is it God's will to heal him? Yes, it is.
Amen.
It's just a lack. You know, and I asked God, and He said, continue to do healing scriptures the rest of your life. and put him in remembrance of his word. You speak it out loud. When you speak something out loud, it gets in you. Okay, now put up there 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Out of the King James. And this is the confidence. This is the, what is confidence? You're confident that it's right. You're assured of it, that we have in God, in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, just wait a minute. What is God's will? How do you know God's will?
His word.
Amen. He's not, He can't go against His word.
That's right.
Once He said something, it's permanent. Next verse. And if we know that He heard us, well, if you spoke the word of God, He heard you. Whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Woo, those are good scriptures. Okay, but your word, but you know what? Your faith does not operate beyond your knowledge of this. See, instead of acting like all your senses, excuse me, are true, act like the word of God is true, because it is. And receive your healing by faith. Healing is God's word. Okay, put a Hebrews 4, 2.
Yeah, 4:12?
2. Well, that's another scripture. The word of God is alive and it's powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
And it divides asunder between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why I like to call this place Living Word. We started the church. I want to see if I'm right about what I put 4:2 here. 4:2, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, above that in Hebrews 3, it was talking about how the Israelites never believed. The first set of Israelites never believed God or, you know, Moses. And they never got into the promised land. Our promised land is this right now. It's the same in it. It says everything in the Old Testament was written for a type and a shadow of how we live.
Yes,
there are stories in there.
Yes.
And those things can happen to us.
Yes.
See, they didn't believe God. They went through the desert. He did so many miracles, got them across the Red Sea, pushed them all the water back. They didn't believe Him. And something else, you know, and it says that they never really believed Him. And so this is why it says, in fact, let's put up 4:1.
Yeah.
You'd have to read the whole chapter of verse 3. I'm not going to do that. Out of the Amplified. It says, therefore, while the promise of entering His rest. How do you enter rest? When you're healed, when you feel good, when everything's going right, right? It still holds and is offered today by the word of God. Let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of you think He has come too late and has come short of reaching rest and peace. For indeed, we have the glad tidings, the gospel of God, proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did. When the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. Faith, you could say, is believing. With the leaning, okay, faith is the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, His wisdom, and His goodness by those who heard it. I mean, it's just, this stuff is more true than the stuff going on in the world. Let's just put it that way. But you got to believe it. It's not going to pass away because it's God. And he can't change his word.
Amen.
Okay, so you need to actually, how do you get this faith? You feed on the word of God.
Amen.
You feed on the word of God out loud. And you meditate on it. Some people say, how do you meditate? Do you know how to worry? Everybody know how to worry? If you do, you just think about it. Think about the word instead of the worry. Okay, James 1, 5 through 7. Let me tell you, I mean, I've had things wrong with me too. And I mean, I have to get them settled, but I don't give up because I know this is in there too. Do you see what I mean? You got to stand. And when you've done all to stand, you stand. Okay. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of the giving God who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. If you ask him, God, you know what? I said, God, give me wisdom about this paint color. He cares about it. And you see, but you have to, what was I going to say about that? You have to listen to him. That isn't really what I was going to say, though. He cares about every little thing. He really does. And he'll give you wisdom, but you can't just, I lost it, whatever it was. Okay, I'll think of it later. Okay, go ahead. 6-7. Only it must be in faith that you ask with no wavering. Maybe that's what I was going to say. You don't go jump back to the old thing and then start again. That's exactly what I was going to say. Back and forth, back and forth, no hesitating, you know. So what? When a diagnosis of cancer. So then when I say, when I sit there, I go, I got cancer in my body. You know? As you do, I'd sit there and go, but then I'd have to jump back in the word because you can actually get depressed. You see what I mean? Very easy because we're living in a sense world. Or any other things that happen. Anything that happens to your kids, happens to you, happens your sports car. Whatever. No. But ask in faith, believing that God will help you. You know what? In the middle of the night, he helped me. I woke up to get a drink of water and go to the restroom, and he told me what color to do. No hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, who doesn't believe the word, one time he believes it, another time he doesn't believe it, is like the billowing surge at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. Go ahead, one more scripture. For truly let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. See, wouldn't healing be included in asking? So, see, we could say the man who doubts won't receive healing. What man? The one who doesn't ask in faith. So where does faith begin? Where the will of God is known. God's word is God's will. Now, I'll tell you this too. John 17:17, Jesus said these words, "My word is truth." What's that? It's truth above everything that you see, feel, hear, taste, touch. See, the word of God is forever established in heaven. God is the word. Jesus is the word. The Holy Spirit is the word. The word, and the, you know what? Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. Malachi 3:6 says, I am God, and I change not. So see, you have to build up your faith, though, with the Word of God for healing. And this is another thing. Way back, they dumbed kids down so they couldn't read. We used to be in prison ministry. There was so many prisoners who weren't probably from bad family lives and all that stuff. They couldn't read. Because I said, you need to read the Word of God. But I can't read. You know what? So get a reading program. Yeah, there were reading programs. See, okay. See, when you read the Word of God, especially scriptures, like for healing, like for finances, like for other things, when you read it for those things, read it out loud. Because you know why? It gets in your spirit. You're not reading it for the head intellectual knowledge. You're reading it for your spirit. And it gets in there. I told you last week that I woke up in the middle of the night when we were teaching school because this little girl told me some terrible things that somebody was doing to her and her family. And I slept until 3:30 and then in the morning, and then I woke up worrying about it. And thinking, what do I have to do? Do I go to the police? Do I go to the blah, 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 blah? Where do I go? And see, all of a sudden I heard a scripture and I had no idea I even knew it or where it was. It was, I was younger, way back. This was in the 90s. Anyway, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. The Lord said that to me. I went, oh, get your mind off of that thing and just, it's, you can discipline yourself to do that. You can quit the worry. See, and then when you say the word out loud, I must have read that scripture a few times because it was down in my spirit. If you never read the word out loud, it will not get planted in your spirit. Plant it in your head, it won't work as good. See, faith is in the spirit realm. Faith is in the spirit realm. Faith is not in your head. Faith is in the spirit realm where God lives in you. And he doesn't live in your mind. He lives in your spirit, and that's the part that got born again. And by speaking it out loud, meditating it, same as worry in the opposite direction, you are reprogramming or renewing your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions. And say, people say, sometimes I tried that faith business, it didn't work. See, they never could have been in faith to begin with. If they had been in faith to begin with, they'd still be in faith. Okay, I'm not going to go much longer, but Mark 11, 23 and 24. King James.
King James?
Yep. Verse 22 says, you have the faith of God. Have faith in God. And also there's other translations that say you have faith. You have some faith that God has.
That's right.
Go ahead. For verily, this Jesus said these words. Jesus said them. They're in red in their Bible. For verily I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, what's the mountain? It's a problem. Be removed and be cast into the sea, and if you will not doubt in your heart, but you will believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Go ahead, the next one. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Before you see him. When you pray, you believe it. Because you're praying the word. That's how you should pray, is pray the word. And you shall have them. Actually, the next verse says, if you stand praying, forgive.
Amen.
Forgiveness will stop you from getting answers. I'm just going to say that real light. So, see, if you really believe you received the answer when you prayed, they'd still be believing. But if they were just hoping or expecting and praying that that faith business works, then it won't. It won't work. You know, even once you've said that, ooh, boy, I was, you know what? That it was such a shocker when they said I had cancer, except I didn't get upset when they said, because I went, whose report do I believe? I knew a song like that, and that's in the Bible. Anyway, I got to a point where I said, okay, I told him,
nobody else.
But nobody else. Because the more people talk about it, pastor has cancer, pastor has cancer, they're putting it into the air.
True.
More you talk about
true.
It. Now, I don't mean to put this down, but sometimes prayer chains, sometimes people just talk about about that, and they just keep putting it in out there. You know what I would say then? I was diagnosed with cancer. And when I start telling people, I'd say, I was diagnosed with it. I did say, I have it. Because that's taking ownership. I have arthritis. I have arthritis. I have arthritis. The more I have arthritis, the more I won't be able to run and jump. Because in all seriousness, I was diagnosed with it. And you can tell some things.
Come on.
But I will not, I would be in a wheelchair. I'm not going to, you know, by this time. That's why I was diagnosed with it. I was diagnosed with whatever, cancer. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was. I was diagnosed with a lot of things. Do you keep going on? And you know what? I got rid of it. Without a few little drugs, but I threw them away. Okay, sometimes this is another thing, and this is just from wisdom from being older. The more drugs you take when you get older, the sooner you'll deteriorate. You'll deteriorate. Vitamins, yeah. Because you need that extra boost, but... Unless there's something real, really vital, you know. So when it was really high, but that was because I was being diagnosed with all this stuff. And so I tell you what, the doctor knew me, and he said, I'm going to give you the lowest dose there is. It was like 0.5 of a milligram or something like that. It was very small. And it worked. And he says, take it for a couple of months, come back. He says, yep, you did it. you know, to live, to keep going on, so you can be of help to other people. And that's another thing. Get rid of yourself. I don't always get rid of myself, but what I mean is want to help others. And that'll keep you going. See, okay, but faith, stepping out just and believing God for what he said in his word. No, I trust this. I trust the doctor more than I trust the word. You said, no, I wouldn't say that, but you might be doing it. Proverbs 3:5-6, one of my favorite scriptures. To trust in the Lord with all my heart. I do not lean to my own understanding with all the symptoms and stuff, or even like buying this church when we have 30 people, you know, for $650,000, you know, and then But it, God said to do it, though.
But God's no respecter of persons. He'll do the same for everybody if they'll stand on the word.
I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't lean to my own understanding. In all my ways, symptoms, go to the doctor, but say, you know, I acknowledge you, God, first, and you will direct my path. So either you believe the Bible or you don't. Hope, expectancy gives up, but faith has bulldog tenacity. Or you might say, oh, well, anyway, remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, you know what? Faith digs in its heels and says, I know what belongs to me, and I'm not going to live without it.
Amen.
See, God doesn't want his children begging for what already belongs to them. Deuteronomy 28, it tells you all the blessings, but then it goes on for how many scriptures? Oh, no, it's in the 70s, I think, 60s for sure. But it doesn't make any difference how many, what it says, it tells all the curses of the law in the Old Testament. We're not under the law if you're born again. But the three things it says Jesus died on the cross for and the beating he took is spiritual death. I was in spiritual death until I asked Jesus to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Now, that church taught us about kind of like, you know, that Jesus died on the cross. They were good. I mean, they didn't, it's not their fault because they didn't know either. But okay, and then it says, you are redeemed, rescued, ransomed from sickness and disease. You are redeemed, ransomed, rescued from poverty.
Come on.
Amen.
But most of it, the body of Christ, even people born again, those two last ones, same here. I mean, we fight them all the time. All the time. Well, you know what? The thing about this whole healing thing, too, is that you have to get into the Word even before. Sometimes we have lay hands on people for healing, and people have results. Is Denise here? She isn't here today. But almost every time she has things with her shoulders and stuff because of her work, and she's older, but she gets healed. Every single time. Yep. And a lot of people have. Yep. You've gotten healed of a lot of stuff. Yeah, you did. Ken got healed. You have. People have. Yep. But the best thing you could do is get into the Word of God for healing. Do we even have, I don't know, stuff out there like God's medicine? And in the bookstore, too. I've with this book, every single day, I would say all of these. Okay, Kent, please. But it distracts. Okay, but Charles Capp's book, I could show it to you. It's just absolutely, after all these years, and I still go into it and say every, but I say them with meaning. It's better to take a few scriptures and meditate on them and say, see, would you, without meditation, that 1 Peter 2:24, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Wait a minute. Okay. He took them. He took them on the cross, the infirmities and sicknesses. And then it has a colon, semicolon, separated. And by his stripes, the beatings that he got before he went to the cross, we are healed.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
Bruising heals.
Amen.
Do you see? There's a separation there. He did both.
Amen.
And most people just look at the one. Me too. I didn't catch that until you meditated on it. Do you get what I'm talking about? They're separate. They're separate. And it works. Yeah, I had cancer, but I got healed. Yeah, they took it, but it hasn't come back. Do you see what I mean? Because that tendency, you know. Amen. Okay, so I don't know. Let's just have a bow our heads for a second here. If there's anyone here that has never actually received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, like me, I didn't know any better, and never said, "Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior." And we're talking about He's your Savior because He died on the cross. But this is even going further and saying, Lord, be Lord of what I think. Yes. Be Lord of who I hang around. Yes. Be Lord of what I put in my mouth, yes. Food or drink. Yes. Be Lord of what I say. Amen. Be Lord of who I hang around. Be Lord of what I watch on TV. All these things, be Lord of what comes out of my mouth. Amen. And that's a little different. And He really does need to become Lord of those things. And I'm not spoiling anybody's fun by doing that, because knowing the difference is it's so much better. So much more life and happiness. Or maybe you were born again and you've just kind of backslid, things started going on, and you know, maybe your girlfriend left you, maybe your wife left you, maybe your husband left you, or your boyfriend left you, or whatever, and, you know, that hurts. Yeah. And you get some people get mad at the Lord, or you've had a lot of pain and just depression in life, and you just say, God, I give up on you. And you backslid. At one time you took Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you know, and you want to renew yourself to God. You know, we'll just say a prayer with you. Either way, we'll say a prayer with you that way, or if you want to renew yourself back to God. So we're just, and if that's you, just raise your hand and then just put it down.